Okay, let's start this morning with Galatians 4, verse 4 and 5. It says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons." God does not want us under the law. The law is a list of do's and don'ts. Don't do this, don't do that. How many of you were raised with the Ten Commandments? Quite a few of you. The Ten Commandments do reveal God's standard and God's holiness. But I want to ask you to put your hand up. Who has been able to keep all of the Ten Commandments? A few honest people are shaking their head. See, the law might be God's standard, but the law can't help us attain that standard. So what God did was he sent forth his Son, Jesus, who was born under the law. He was born a Jew. And he is the only one in all of history that has been able to keep God's perfect standard of righteousness, because he was without sin. And he's the only one who can appear before God Almighty and say, "I am sinless." All the rest of us have a problem. But it says that Jesus came to redeem us, or to buy us back who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. God wanted to adopt us as sons. Now, our Western culture understanding of adoption is that you take somebody else's child and you legally become their parent. But it is still somebody else's child. That child has the DNA of their father and mother. That's why we talk about the biological parents. You can have adoptive parents, but you also have biological parents. Now, God's understanding of adoption is different. See, the moment that we say, "Jesus, you died for me," we become adopted into God's family. Not because God says, "Oh yeah, I'll pretend you're my kid." We become adopted into God's family because we become born again. We receive God's DNA. We actually do become sons and daughters of God. We were once in Adam, but then at salvation, we are then in Christ. And God's nature becomes our nature. Now, some people struggle a little bit with that. It's like, well, you're talking about God, and you're talking about us having God's nature. Yes, that's one of the mindsets that God wants to challenge. Because we can say, "Oh yeah, that's fine," until we really look at the truth of it and say, being a son or daughter of God, they wanted to stone Jesus because he said that he was the Son of God. And you still have people today who will say, "That is heresy. You cannot say that you are a son or daughter of God." Well, the problem is that God has said it. Mm-hmm. And it takes us a while to grab hold of what that actually means. But we are a son or a daughter of God. Let's look at the next verse. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Last time I spoke about the fact that when you ask people what the names of God are, chances are they will give you the names that are revealed in the Old Testament. But Jesus in John 17 said, Father, I have come to reveal your name. And the name that Jesus came to reveal was Father. And here it's saying that Almighty God, in all His holiness, all His perfection, all His glory, all His splendor, is saying, I want you to call me Daddy, Father. Now, the translators were obviously a little bit horrified at that thought. So they didn't translate Abba for us. They thought, well, we can't put Daddy in there. So they put Abba instead. It actually means Daddy or Papa. Father God's not looking for impressive titles, but He is looking for those who will call Him Daddy, Papa, or if you speak another language other than English, think of what Daddy is in your language. Almighty God in all His holiness is happy with you calling Him that. It's no wonder that the Apostle John said, it's in 1 John 3, behold, what manner of love the Father has shown towards us that we might be called children of God. What incredible love God has shown towards us that He says, hey, you're my kid. He could have made us His servants. In the Old Testament, to be called His friend was the highest honor that you could have. Abraham is called the friend of God. It says of Enoch that he walked with God. But nothing of that compares with God going so far as saying, you're my kid. An amazing truth that if we start to grab hold of this truth, we'll start to revolutionize how we live. See, the devil will fight us having an awareness of who we actually are. Because when we know who we are, we know how we should live. And sadly, most of the body of Christ wandering around living as paupers when they're called to be princes. Good, I've got one person I can preach to this morning. Go, Diane. Says here that God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts. Many of us don't know how to be sons and daughters. Many of us have grown up in situations where we've been hurt, where we've been wounded by our parents, and we don't quite know how to live as a son or a daughter. That's why God put the spirit of his son in your heart, because Jesus knows how to live as a son. When Jesus was on the earth, he repeatedly spoke about his relationship with his dad. He said amazing things like, "The Father and I are one. I know my Father always hears me. I do what I see my Father doing. Father's not left me alone." You look through the Gospels of that depth of relationship that Jesus had with the Father. Even as a child, you see him in the temple. He knew his Father. And Jesus invites us into that relationship. He's saying, it's okay that you don't know how to be a son or a daughter. It's okay that you've had people who have not shown to you fully what the Father looks like. Because I'm going to bring you into the relationship I have with Papa. We don't have to live far away. We can live close. Which I'm going to take that back. I want you to think for a moment, because I know that there's people here and your experience of a father or a mother has not been good. Yeah, I loved it a couple of weeks ago when we had Paul sing out. And Paul started to sing about the love of the Father. For those of us who know Paul, we know his history and what it was like for him growing up with an abusive father. But the Spirit of God started to sing through him something that even blew Paul away. And I believe that's what it's talking about here. That we don't have to be limited by our experience, because God wants to take us beyond what we have known into what Jesus has known. That is to be our portion. God wants us to live in that close relationship with him. See, don't be limited by the concepts you have had of what a father or mother is like. And there's much talk about how our parents shape our concept of God. There is truth in that, but there is a greater truth. See, I want you to think right now of somebody that's close to you. Maybe it's a child. It'd be good if it's a child. If you don't have children, then I want you to think of somebody that you care about who is in need right now. Okay? I hope you all got somebody. Now, if you were without limitation, you could do anything you wanted to do. You had all money, you had all power, you had all ability. What would you do for that child? What would you do for that person? Got anybody with some quick answers?
An immeasurable amount.
Anybody else? Anybody got something specific? What's a need that you see in somebody that you love? What would you do if you could do anything?
bring deliverance.
Good. Somebody else. Make them happy. Good. Somebody else. Good. Anybody else? Anybody got a sick child or a sick friend? If you could heal them, would you heal them? Anybody got a child that's in financial difficulty? Okay. What would you do if you could? If you could do anything, what would you do?
Give them a brilliant job, lots of money.
Brilliant job, lots of money.
Because he's got no house.
Great. Okay, you can start to feel in the room here the passion of what people would do if they could do anything. Matthew 7. How much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? How much more? We've had person after person say here about the things that they would do if they could. They would bring healing. They would bring finances. They would help with a dream. They would break bondages. They would bring people to the Lord. Oh, I'm running out of voice here. I'm getting too excited. And yet the devil has sowed us a lie. That God doesn't really want to heal. He doesn't really want to bless. But Jesus, who knows the heart of the Father, says, how much more? What he's doing is he's encouraging us to look at our own heart. So we can look at what we were growing up under. And maybe we had an abusive father. Maybe we had a mother who was so preoccupied she didn't care. But Jesus says, look at your own heart. What would you do if you could do anything? He starts verse 11 by saying, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. Effectively, he's saying, you're far below what a perfect, loving, holy God is like. And yet everywhere I go, I see people who want to bless others, people who want to do good. And we do, because that's part of being made in the image of God. But Father is so much more beyond anything that you could dream up of doing for the person that you love. Papa God loves them more. Papa God wants to do more. Papa God wants to bless you. Don't be limited by the concepts you've had of what a father or mother looks like. You may not have had a good father. You do now. He's a good, good father. We need to hear that again. He's a good, good father. When we start to understand how good he is and we start to pray for another person's need, It's no longer a case of, oh, I hope you bless them. Oh, please heal them. No, when we know the heart of our Father, we speak His love and His goodness into a situation. I don't know if you've heard it, but I've heard it where you've had people come and say, oh, we're praying for this lady. She needs healing. And I know God's going to heal her because she's been such a good Christian. God will want to heal her if she'd been a bad Christian. Never base what God's going to do for you on the basis of how good you've been. If that was the basis, we'd all be in trouble. God blesses us on the basis of how good He is. Yeah, that was a good place to say amen. How much more will your Father in heaven? See, Jesus didn't say, how much more will God Almighty? No. He wants us to grab hold of the concept, how much more will your Father? See, kids expect to receive. And you've got kids, they come in, Mom, can I have this? Dad, can you give me that? Kids don't come in thinking, well, maybe if I'm good enough, they might give me, unless they've been raised with that, of course. But most kids come in expecting that they will receive. We've got a little guy who lives next door, and Ray's kind of taken him a bit under his wing. He comes and he helps Ray in the yard and wanders around with him and kind of helps out and pulling weeds and shifting things and stuff. And Ray gives him some money to pay for what he does and tries to speak into the little guy's life. We want to bless him. But at the end of the day, he's somebody else's son. He's not our kid. And there's a huge difference when somebody's your kid. Galatians 4. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. There's a huge, huge difference between serving God and being a son or a daughter of God. Jesus taught us to pray, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, etc. Give us this day our daily bread. Where's the confidence come that God's going to bless you? It's because He's your Father. When we don't have the confidence that He is our Father and we are totally loved and accepted, we're not going to stand before God and say, give me my daily bread. We're going to go, oh, please, God. Maybe, hopefully, helpfully, it might be your will. Maybe, please bless me. I hope. When we know that God is our Father, we know that we have this incredible inheritance of healing, of wholeness. See, Jesus talked about deliverance and healing as being the children's bread. When we know that we are children, then we start to eat freely. We don't have to ask God for something that is already ours. I don't know about your kids, but my kids go to the fridge and help themselves. Okay, I'm glad I've got another parent who at least is like that. How many other parents got kids that help themselves? Why? Because they're your kids. Now, if it's the neighbor's kid who does it, you probably have something to say. But when it's your kid, they have part of your inheritance. They receive. When we're God's kid, guess what? We help ourselves to the refrigerator. We open the pantry door. I need some healing. Thanks, Papa. I'm short of money this week. Great, you've got heaps. I need some. Thanks. I need to get somewhere. Where are the keys? Taking the car. I'll be back later. See, when we start to develop the mindset that we're God's kid, everything in our life changes because we become an heir. Because we have access to what Papa has, and Papa has got a whole lot. What is it that you need? Well, Papa's got it in the cupboard, and it's not locked. He wants you to live as a son and a daughter, to know that it's yours. I don't know about your kids, but sometimes my kids just leave me a note to let me know what they have taken. Didn't ask for it. Why? Because they're kids. They're my kids. It delights the heart of Papa God when his kids just say, thanks, Dad. Let's look at Romans 8. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us just what we need? Give us barely enough to get by. Give us enough to keep us humble. No, the word says, with him also freely give us freely give us all things. Does that cover all things? Do you think there's something God left out of that? Did he say all things except nice clothes? Choice is definitely not. Did he say all things except fast cars?
We'll take them where we find them, yeah.
Did he say all things except jewelry? Did he say all things except a partner for life? No, he said, freely give us all things. That's what's called a blank check. That means you fill in the blank. What is it that you need to receive? Papa God has already given you Jesus. Why would he not want to bless you with everything else that you need? Air tickets to go somewhere. A house to live in. Oh, I struck a chord with that one. Yes, houses come under all things. Very next verse, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. I believe the reason that Papa put that verse next is because when we read that he wants to freely give us all things, we start to think of the reasons why. But God wouldn't want to bless me because I did such and such. Or maybe I shouldn't have that because of this or that. Or I haven't done, or I did do. We have all these charges against us that come to our mind. They do not come from God. They do not come from the Holy Spirit. They come from the enemy of your soul who wants you miserable, and he wants God sad. Who here has made a nice meal for somebody, like your kids or somebody else, and they've cancelled out because they want to go somewhere else or they're just not hungry? Anybody had that happen? Were you disappointed? Yes. Anybody brought a gift for somebody, saved up, bought something for your kids, and they don't like it? Anybody had that happen? Did that make your day? No. See, the devil doesn't just want you miserable. He wants to hurt the heart of Father God. Each and every one of us have known the experience of wanting to bless somebody, and for some reason we haven't been able to. And we've been disappointed, we've been frustrated, we've been let down because it wasn't received or it wasn't appreciated. That's what the devil wants for God Almighty. He wants him not able to bless his kids because all of his kids are going around saying, God wouldn't want to bless me. I'm such a hopeless Christian. Why would God bless me? I did this week and I said I wouldn't do that and I did it again. And the Father heart of God is grieved. Anybody here been hurt or disappointed by their kids? Yeah, I would expect the hands of practically every parent to be up. Have any one of you ever thought that you'd put sickness on your kids just to teach them a lesson? No. Any of you ever thought, I wish they had a car accident? That would really wake them up. Sad truth is that there are many of God's kids going around that don't have the concept of how much more, but they live with the concept of how much less, because they think when they do something wrong that God will make them sick. Or if they have a car accident, that maybe they must have sinned. How many people, how many believers have had something go wrong in their life and the first thing they have thought of What did I do wrong? See, most of us cannot on that one. Oh, there must be some sin in your life. And if it's not in your life, then it must be in some generation before you. My, oh my. What was your grandfather into? What about your great-great-great-great-grandmother? What did she do? Because God can't bless you with a great-great-great-great-grandmother like that. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. God Almighty is the judge, and he's already passed his verdict. He has looked at you, and he says, not guilty. He says, every sin paid for. He says, that's my kid, and I will freely give to them all things. Don't let the accusations of the devil be greater than the truth of the word. God wants you to live as his son and his daughter. Tremendous joy in that. God wants his kids blessed. Romans 8:15. Very similar to Galatians 4. Galatians 4 and Romans 8 say the same thing, but with a little difference. Here in Romans 8:15, it says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out. Galatians 4, it says it's the spirit of the Son within us that cries out. But I believe that Father God wants for our spirit to start to cry out, for us to recognize that we have the right to call God Almighty Papa, Daddy, Abba, Father. For me, I found it took a while for me to be comfortable to call God Papa. I started by calling him Father. Actually, I started by calling him the Father because I was comfortable with that. And then I got to the stage where I could call him Father. But for me, it was still a title of reverence and everything. And then I started to add Abba Father. And it's got to the stage where I can comfortably call him Papa. It's taken a while, and if you're not there yet, don't worry about it. But let your heart start to call out to God to be your Abba Daddy, your Abba Father, your Papa God. Because there is a cry within each and every one of us to be loved, to be accepted, to belong. And when we don't have that filled by God, we will look for everything else to try and fill it. Whether it's sex, whether it's money, whether it's drugs, whether it's whatever. Till we get that cry that is on the inside of our heart to be loved and accepted, fulfilled, we are vulnerable to everything else that's on offer. So walk at it at your level. But God invites you to know him as Papa. Let's finish with a couple of verses from John. This is Jesus talking, John 16:23. And in that day, you will ask me nothing. Most of us are still asking Jesus heaps of questions. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Again, it doesn't say he will think about it. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll check your records to see if you've been a good person this week. No, Jesus just makes this statement. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. A few verses down. Verse 26. In that day, you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you. I mean, that's a weird statement. Jesus saying, I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you. What the heck does that mean? Who of you have grown up with one parent that was a soft touch, and when you wanted something, like for me, if I wanted something, I'd go and talk to my mum, and I would let mum talk to dad. And then hopefully I'd get what I wanted. Anybody else? Yep. Couple of other hands. Jesus is saying, hey, listen, I'm not going to go and talk to the Father for you. You talk to him. Verse 27, for the Father himself loves you. Some of us have had this concept that God the Father is some tired old grumpy gentleman who's sitting in a big chair who doesn't want to be bothered by any kids. Okay, yeah, and see some smiles on your face. And if you come too near, you're going to get a biff round the ears or a grumpy response, and you just better stay away. If you want something, talk to Jesus, and he's game enough to go and talk to the Father. Anybody had that concept? Okay, yes, a few of you are recognizing you've had that concept. Jesus says here, the Father himself loves you. There is no division in the Godhead. If we're born again, we know Jesus loves us. But sadly, there are Christians who are wandering around knowing that Jesus loves them and they're saved, but they're not living in their inheritance. Why? Because they haven't come to the knowledge that Father himself loves them. So they're living distant. They're not coming and jumping on Daddy's knee and saying, Daddy, I need this. Thanks. Father wants us to live close. Let's finish the verse. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. If you believe that Jesus came, that he died for your sins, you are born again. And you have a Father who loves you.